The scripture for this morning's sermon will be taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them."
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning to worship our God and have opportunity to sing praises to Him. And hopefully you've noticed a theme with our songs this morning. What is our theme? Heaven. Very good. You should be paying attention when we sing, of course, because our singing is a commandment, number one, from God that we should be singing. And while we are singing, we, of course, are teaching and admonishing one another. And so if we're being taught, we should be learning. So hopefully you've been paying attention to those songs about heaven, and that is definitely our theme this morning. Are you tired? I don't necessarily mean tired physically this morning like you're going to doze off during the sermon, but I mean, are you tired of this world that we live in? Turn on the news this morning and once again, a shooting. Odessa, Texas, I don't know if you heard, but again, a mass shooting, 5 dead, many more that were injured. And it seems like this is becoming something that we can almost see, I regret to say daily, but almost weekly. This year I've seen statistics that show that we are pushing in a number here in America that there could almost be one death per day, if you do the numbers, this year in America due to mass shootings. And that is a sad, sad state for us to live in. But as we sung in our very first song this morning, "This world is not our home, I'm just a passing through." What a wonderful thought to know that this world is not where we are dwelling forever. This is just a temporal place. But instead, we have a place that is eternal, that we can live forever. Statistics that I've read say that 72% of Americans believe in heaven. Sad that 100% do not. But 72% do, but only 58% believe that there's a hell. Both places are places that we can read about in Scripture. Both prepared by God for people to dwell for all eternity. There's two options, heaven or hell. I don't want to dwell on the hell side of things, not because it's not important and not because Scripture doesn't say a lot about it. It does. And it says a lot that should scare us. A lot that should deter us from living a life that would lead us in that direction. Sadly, in Matthew chapter 7, we're told that there's a broad way that leads unto destruction. And there are many that go thereby. But if you're tired this morning of living in this world that we're living in, let me tell you this. Don't grow weary doing good. While you're here, stay strong doing what is right. Because God has promised us, as we've sung this morning, and through His Word, that there is a place called heaven. A place that has been prepared. Not a mistake, not an afterthought, but a place that has been prepared for the saints. And we need to make sure that we're not growing weary in this world, but that we are staying strong and moving forward. If you will, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we turn there this morning, we might have a tendency to think about some things that we say on earth, and maybe we need to be careful about some of the things we say. Have you ever said to yourself, "This is like heaven on earth"? For me, maybe it was going to some great venue to see a ball game. Most of you know I'm a big baseball fan. And I've been to Fenway and I've been to Wrigley. Some of these places that are iconic in the baseball world. And some people might say, "Wow, going there and seeing a ball game, this is like heaven on earth." Heaven's much greater than that. Maybe you've been to a concert and you've gone to see your favorite artist, and man, the atmosphere was so palpable from the moment you walked in that you said, wow, this place is amazing, this venue, this atmosphere, this is like heaven on earth. Heaven's much greater than that. Maybe you've been to Disney World, a place that they say dreams come true. And maybe you thought, wow, this place is so magical and so beautiful, and it's just so exciting. You see the sparkle in your children's eyes. Now, I will say this, to see the sparkle in those children's eyes at the beauty and the magnificence that is Disney World, that is probably close to seeing what it might be like when your eyes see heaven. Because the innocence of children is one thing that we can liken heaven to. When children are coming to Christ, His disciples rebuke them and say, stay back. And He says, no, no, no. Let the children come to Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's a place where we can go and know that there's going to be purity, that there's going to be innocence, that there's going to be that childlike innocence and purity that only a child truly can have, but that we as adults need to yearn to regain. Because we've been sorted by this world, if we're honest. We've seen things that we wish we could forget. We've heard things we wish we could forget. And we wake up each morning and see on the news things that we wish weren't happening and that we could forget. Oh, what a yearning we should have to be in that place that God has prepared for us called heaven. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. The famous movie, The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy clicks her heels, and she was told as she clicks her heels to say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And that's Kansas for her. And I know there are a few people who may think Kansas is a great place to go, sitting right up here. I've been to Kansas once. I wasn't overly impressed. But I know there's some people who like Kansas. It's one of those flyover states. There's a country song. It's like, what goes on in these flyover states? We go over from the East Coast to the West Coast. What's going on in the middle of the country? But it's not that we're going somewhere, just a physical home like we think of. Hopefully you are comfortable in your home. Hopefully you like being at home. That's where you want to be when you're not feeling well. Even this morning, as we were preparing our minds for the Lord's Supper, he talked about, Doug did, about his Father and the comfort of being in your Father's arms. The comfort of being with family. And that's what heaven's going to be. Because the only people who can go into this eternal resting place, this beautiful home, are God's children, God's family. We sing a beautiful song entitled that, God's Family. To be a part of that family, where we laugh together and we cry together. But we know that one day we'll be in that place together for all eternity, where there are no tears, where there is no pain, and that there is no night, but just beautiful, beautiful, bright light that radiates from our Lord and our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. All three parts of the Godhead dwell there, and you can dwell there too. What a wonderful place that God has prepared for us. In our Bible, we can read nearly 600 passages that have talk about heaven in them. Clearly, it's an important topic, an important place that God wants us to achieve. It's a place that He specifically created for His children. And I sure hope that this morning you have a desire to be there. I think you do, or you wouldn't be here this morning. Praising God for what He's already done for you in this life. Jesus, of course, is called the Good Shepherd. He comforts His flock. And we are that flock, the church, the body, a family that meets together here each Sunday. But just think, part of our family is at a marriage retreat this morning. But you know what they're doing right now? Worshiping God together, a part of the family. And even in Kansas, there are people worshiping God this morning that are part of our family. All around this world, there are people worshiping. And we come together, yes, because it's a commandment. We come together, though, too, because it's a comfort to be with one another. What a comfort it is to come and to know here there are people of a like-minded faith, a people that have your best interest in mind. When you go to school tomorrow, kids, that may not be the case. Stay strong. When you go to work, adults, that may not be the case. Stay strong. make sure your focus is eternal and not temporal and physical and what's right ahead of you. But when we come together like we are this morning, this is just a small taste of heaven. I remember one time Kevin got up here, Kevin Hannibal, for a Wednesday night devotional. He talked about family reunions, talked about all the good food, and talked about all the good times and the laughs, and just looking forward to those opportunities to get together with family. And that's exactly what heaven will be. The biggest family reunion that you can imagine. To get together with those who have lived a good Christian life, have fought the good fight, have finished the course, have finished that race, and they've earned that heavenly home that God has prepared for us. That should be our focus each and every day. So do not grow weary in doing what is good. Stay strong. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse number 50. Paul writes here to this church in Corinth, and these are, of course, young Christians, young churches. Paul writes all these epistles, and many of them are starting to waver. They've already allowed sin to come in. And so it's a good reminder for those young churches, but it's a good reminder for us today, some 2,000 years removed, that we too need to stand fast, that we need to stay firm in the faith, so that we too can experience that eternal home. In verse number 50, it reads, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does incorruptible inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, or this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Jesus has overcome death through His death. Through giving us salvation through His blood, we do not have to worry about our physical death. It'll come to us all, but ultimately we know that it's been swallowed up by God, by Christ, and that we will be changed, and that we will be incorruptible for all eternity and have a resting place in heaven if we remain faithful. In verse number 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Do not grow weary. Do not move from God. But stay immovable because He's prepared a place for us. Why should heaven be important to us as Christians? I think we've already enumerated several. But our reward is in heaven. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. And here in the Beatitudes, as we call them, at the latter part of the Beatitudes, Jesus says to actually be happy, that we should be blessed in persecution. In verse 12, He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This world is a tough place to live. This world, we will be persecuted. Not like the prophets and the apostles were. What we deal with is just dim in comparison to what they dealt with. And what Christ, of course, Himself dealt with. But He says, keep on keeping on. Because in heaven is your reward. Why should heaven be important to us? We'll turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And again, we'll see God's Word telling us very plainly why we should be so excited and so looking forward to this beautiful place He's prepared for us called heaven. Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 20. Philippians 3, verse 20, and it reads, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait." Are you eagerly waiting? We should be. In fact, at the beginning of this same book, Philippians, Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 23, he says, "I'm hard pressed. I'm hard-pressed. I'm ready to go and to be with the Lord. But he says, I find it necessary that I stay here with you. And I love that verse because, yes, Paul wants to be in heaven. Yes, Paul has been persecuted far beyond what we can even imagine. But he says, I want to stay here with you because what's he want to do? He wants to bring others with him. I find it necessary to stay here so that I can continue to preach, that I can continue to be the example that I need to be to those that are still lost or those that might be weak so they too can get to that place called heaven. Our citizenship is there. That's why heaven should be important to us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's where our hope should be. When we live our lives each and every day, people should see a hope in us that's different. Because our lives should reflect our hope, our desire, our yearning, our focus on heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. People should recognize that we're not living for this world around us, this temporal place that's full of evil, but instead we're living for that home that's eternal, pure, beautiful, where God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit dwell, and all those Christians who've gone on before us. That needs to be our focus each and every day. You know, I can't probably get up here and preach without mentioning a little bit of literature, right? Emily Dickinson writes a poem, and this poem is called Hope is a Thing with Feathers. Hope is a thing with feathers. The Bible, of course, is full of ideas about hope, as we've just discussed. And in this poem, she writes about hope, and she makes it a bird. She makes it metaphorically a bird, and it goes like this. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul. That's where your hope should be. It's within you. It's within you. It's what drives you. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Don't let hope fade. Don't let that little bird, that hope that's within you, ever fade, but know that it's constantly singing and pushing you forward, that hope in your soul. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm. Those times of difficulty, gale, G-A-L-E is the word here. Those storm gales, as we can imagine, the hurricane that's moving into the Bahamas that will hit the East Coast here shortly. Imagine how detrimental, how devastating those storms are. But again, the hope that's within us, no storm, no gale winds, nothing can move that little bird, that hope that's perched within your soul, if that hope is focused on God and on heaven. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that it could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Who gives us our hope? God. He doesn't ask much of us. He's done it all for us. He sent His only begotten Son because He loved us. His only begotten Son came and lived in this world and was tempted just like we were and lived a perfect life. Went through physical, emotional, and psychological suffering for you and for me, and He died upon that cross. And not a whole lot He asked of us except to hear His Word. Believe His Word. Repent of our sins and live a way that is right. A way that ultimately, when we live in this world, is going to bring us abundant life, both here and in the hereafter. Again, He's our good shepherd. He came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. The comfort of Psalm 23, when we get that image of a shepherd leading the flock, leading his sheep by the still waters, taking them somewhere cool and comfortable to rest, making sure that they are taken care of and fed. God has done all of that for you and for me. That's that hope that perches within your soul. No storm gale, no winds, no chilly place, no scary place that you could imagine could overcome what God's done for you. And we need to make sure that we live focusing on this place that's called heaven, that's prepared for you and for me. What a wonderful, wonderful place that we've sung about this morning, and that our Bible teaches us so much about. Why is heaven a wonderful place? Well, because deity dwells there. As we mentioned, all three parts of the Godhead dwell there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. Here Jesus is teaching his apostles, the disciples, to pray. And in this, and we're all familiar with what we call the model prayer or the Lord's prayer. And he says, after this manner, he says, therefore pray, our Father who art in heaven. God the Father is there. What a wonderful place heaven is. Who else is there? God the Son. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse number 11. Acts chapter 1, verse number 11. And there it says, which also said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is there in heaven. And finally, we know that the Holy Spirit too dwells in heaven. John chapter 1, verse 32. John writes, and it says, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Again, heaven is a wonderful place for so many reasons, but one of the greatest, deity in all three forms, dwells there. We talk sometimes about, I can't wait to get to heaven to see Moses and Abraham and Noah, and to see those people and to talk with those people. But two, God is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit. And yes, it'll be great to see those others numbered with the saints as well. And that's the thing too. Scripture tells us we'll recognize people there. We will recognize. And I don't know if we'll look the same, but you can look at so many passages, including when Jesus takes his two apostles up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they say things like Elijah, and they call their names. I don't know that they said anything that we don't have recorded in Scripture for them to know who those people were, but they recognized them. These were not people that they had laid eyes on, but they recognized them. In heaven, we're going to be able to recognize one another. And what a beautiful thing to think about those who have gone before. We sing songs again about heaven and the beautiful dwelling place that's there. And it talks about, too, those that are waiting on the other side. The shore that they're waiting on for us to just come in on that ship and just waiting for us to have that reunion. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. There have been several occasions here at Avondale over the years that I've worshipped here, that we've had people that, of course, are getting closer and closer to the end of their lives. And some of the most beautiful and some of the most poignant moments that I've had were spending time with those loved ones, those brethren, as they were close to passing. But to see us rally around as a family, and to cry, but to sing, and to encourage. And many of you have probably been at those things. Some of them now, because of technology, some of us were able to participate in one not too long back via the World Wide Web. But how beautiful to have that experience here on earth, to understand what heaven's going to be like each and every day. Join together with those of a like-minded faith, those that are striving to live a life that God is pleased with, and those that are singing praises to that God and encouraging one another. That is what heaven will be like. Heaven is a wonderful place because it's a place of rest. As was read for us just before the sermon this morning, it's a place of rest that people should long for. Here in this world, we're tired. Physically, yes, but spiritually, most definitely. But in that place, we will be able to rest from all the burdens that we have in this world. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. As I was teaching class this morning, and we were teaching from the book of Hebrews, and I asked, what's the theme word for this book? And somebody said, rest. And that's a good answer. And here in Hebrews 4, 9, we see just that. There remains therefore a rest. It doesn't say for everyone in the world. It doesn't say for just anybody. And it says for who? The people of God. Don't want to talk about that other place this morning because I don't want our minds to be there. I want it to be on a beautiful place. But you know where the other people are going to be resting. And it will be far from a rest. It will be eternal torment. But for us, there remaineth therefore a rest for God's people. What a beautiful thought. Everything that you're struggling with day in, day out, the things that we're seeing on the news, we know that there is a rest if we do not grow weary doing good and doing what God would have us to do. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, if you'll turn there with me. A lot of beautiful images in the book of Revelation about heaven. In Revelation 14, 13, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. For now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest. That they may rest from their labors and their works. Follow them." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor," or excuse me, "all ye that labor and all ye that are burdened and heavy laden." You know what I'm saying? Getting backwards there. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest." Rest is in God, true eternal rest, and it's in heaven. What a wonderful thought of the rest that we'll have in heaven. We labor here on earth, and we travel through this difficult place, and we look for physical rest. But again, nothing will compare to the rest that lies on the shores of heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place because of its beauty, because of its splendor. We've named our fellowship groups here now gate groups. Those are for gold, amethyst, topaz, and emerald. Just four of the beautiful stones that heaven is filled with when we look at descriptions of it. We can read descriptions of heaven that talk about how bright and how that radiates from God and from His throne. In the songs that we've sung this morning talking about the river of life, it's a river that is crystal clear, as transparent as glass. And again, all of these things, as we've all heard before, these are just the physical ways that we as human beings who think in physical terms can imagine these things. But oh, they're far greater. Look at the world that we live in. It's a beautiful place, not the sin. I'm talking about the physical creation. Have you been to the Grand Canyon? Beautiful. You take pictures, doesn't do it justice. Your eye, as far as it can see, the colors, the different hues, it's amazing. The depth of that canyon, amazing. Have you ever been to Yellowstone Park, Glacier National Park, some places I've had the opportunity to visit? Beautiful animals. Huge mountains. If you've never seen mountains in Colorado and out in those parts of the country, you haven't seen mountains. Well, we got here in Tennessee and Georgia, they're hills. We call them mountains, but climb one of those mountains. Go to those heights and see the glory. The beauty of this creation. Imagine a place that's even more beautiful than this. A place that God created and prepared for you and me that even far outweighs the beauty that we see in this physical world that God created for us. How beautiful heaven must be. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse number 10, let's let the Bible speak to help us appreciate the beauty of heaven. "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Expansive. Take you up on a mountain and look down at this beautiful city called heaven. Zion, this wonderful place. When you look in Scripture 2 to see the size, continue on here in chapter 21. In verse number 16, it says, "The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs." If you don't know what a furlong is, which I don't off the top of my head, if you use your handy footnote there, it tells us that a furlong is how long? 1,380 miles. And it said there were how many? He measured the and he measured the city with 12,000 furlongs. That sounds like a big number. 12,000 times 1,380. Do that math and you're looking at 16,500,000 miles. It's a city. What a huge and beautiful place this is, that's an expanse beyond our imagination. What a beautiful, beautiful place heaven is. And what an expansive place. Who can create such a place? The God who created this world. The one who has galaxies that are far beyond what we can even understand and reach. The same God prepared this place for us. What a beautiful place. Dropping back to verse number 9. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates to the east, 3 gates to the north, 3 on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city and the 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city, it is laid out as a square, its length it is great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length and breadth and height are equal. Then he measured its walls, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth things we don't even know. All right, what a beautiful place. The 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." Beautiful, beautiful place that's called heaven. And it'll be worth it. All that we're going through here, all that we toil and struggle with here, will be so worth this wonderful place where all deity lives, where all the dead in Christ will rise, and where we can see this wonderful beauty that God has prepared. Heaven is a wonderful place because there's no pain and there's no anguish. There's no tears in heaven. We sing that song. And what a wonderful thought. I was out yesterday doing yard work and I got in some ants. And they bit me. Ant bites hurt. I was mowing the lawn on a riding lawnmower. I look like Forrest Gump. I got this old little red snapper that Carolyn's dad gave me. I'm riding along and this branch, I thought that won't be too bad. It was a pretty solid branch. And it flipped back. Wham! Hit me. That hurt. I was using a chainsaw yesterday. Got all my digits still, so that's good. But I accidentally touched part of it and it was so hot I got a burn here on my wrist. And then later, even through gloves I was wearing, I burned my finger. I was cutting down this pampas grass, this tall stuff that you touch, and it's like a razor sharp thing. And I'm fighting through cutting all that stuff, and my legs are scratched up. My point is, this world is filled with a lot of pain. And those things are just minor compared to some other things that I can't even imagine that people suffer through. Not only the physical pain, as I just talked about, but the emotional pain of seeing those that you love deal with sickness. To see the things that we see on the news, to see children that are being neglected, that are being abused, to see all those things that cause us so much pain, and to know that we're going to go to a place, a city of righteousness, a pure, beautiful place, a place that God has prepared for only those who love Him and serve Him and obey Him. And it will be a place that's perfect, with no pain and no suffering at all. In this world, we live in a place that's controlled by Satan. He is the prince of this world. Sin dwells in this place. It says that Satan is the god, lowercase g, of this world. He is the one who dwells here, and he brings the pain. When Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin into the world, evil came into this world. That was the gateway that brought all these terrible things in. But from that point and even before, God had a plan. And that plan was for His Son Jesus to come, to live a perfect life, to die, and to ultimately give us the opportunity to have that home in heaven with Him. What a wonderful place heaven is. A place where there's no pain, no anguish, but just pure beauty, singing, angels, people who live faithful lives here on this earth that will dwell forever in this beautiful place. Just imagine. We think when we're going on trips, I can't wait until that trip gets here. We plan them sometimes weeks, months, sometimes even years in advance. We get our tickets. We get new clothes maybe for the event. We get our reservations for the place we're going to stay. We put in so much time to prepare. And we look forward to. Are you preparing for your final destination? Are you preparing for heaven? Are you living a life each and every day? Your reservation's already made because, again, Jesus overcame death. But are you preparing and living a life that will find you one day in heaven? The songs that we've sung this morning, the songs that we haven't even sung, that we know about heaven, we know what a wonderful place. We sing about it. We think about it. And hopefully we're living for it, so that one day that can be our home. The disciples were confused when Jesus told them that He was leaving. But He says, I go away. And He says, I go away to prepare a place. And He says, if it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you. God cannot lie. Jesus is God incarnate at that time. He was not telling a lie. Sad that not everyone believes in heaven. But we do as Christians. And we long for that place. And if you're not a part of the body of Christ, if you're not counted among those that are on that path to heaven, it's because you haven't chosen to do your part. As I said earlier, with that hope that's perched in your soul, it doesn't ask much of you. That hope is God. That hope is because He's prepared and because He's done all the work. He just asks you to hear. Hear His Word. Romans 10:17, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hear that Word and believe it. Believe that Jesus, God incarnate, did come and walk this earth to be an example for us, to teach, to bring the gospel, to bring this plan of salvation from the beginning of time until His life here on earth. And then for it to be perpetuated, and it's here for us still today. Believe that Jesus is God's Son, and believe that He came and lived, and that He died for you. And then be willing to live a life that will be an honor to Christ. The sacrifice that He made for us. We need to make our calling and election sure. We need to make sure we're walking worthy each and every day. When somebody says, why are you living that way? Why are you doing that? Why do you not like this, that, or the other? Because I'm a Christian. because I'm serving God, because I believe in Jesus and the salvation that comes through His blood. We need to be willing to confess that each and every day of our life. But if you were to come forward this morning wanting to put Christ on, we'd want you to confess that to all these witnesses. Why? Because it's commanded, but also to show your true belief and your true commitment to living a life that represents Christ and God. You need to repent. You need to change the way that you were walking. Because again, there's a broad path that leads unto destruction. There's a narrow path. Stay on that path. As we said earlier, do not be moved. Do not turn away from God. God's always there for us. It's us that make a decision sometimes to turn away. But stay steadfast, immovable, as we saw there in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 15. He's already won the victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? He's won it. You just need to repent and live a life that honors that sacrifice that He made. And then finally, to be buried in the watery graves of baptism. Baptism is a beautiful symbol of you going down and being washed. Not that there's anything special about the water. But going down in that burial, that immersion, that old man that was a man of sin, one that was a slave to sin, but that can come up and be a slave of righteousness. One that is serving a righteous God. One that's striving to be holy as God is holy. One that is striving and yearning for that beautiful place called heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place because God is there. Heaven is a wonderful place because of its beauty and splendor. Heaven is a wonderful place because all the saints will be there. Heaven is a wonderful place because there's no tears and no pain and no anguish. And again, the beauty to me too, and I know I've already alluded to it, but the young children, that innocence and that purity. We sing songs that talk about holding a new babe and just the innocence of children, the laughter of children, and to think that that's the kind of purity and a wonderful place that is heaven. Do you want that rest? Do you want to see that wonderful place? It's prepared. And God has given us direction on how to get there. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And you can be on that path to that beautiful place called heaven. If you were on that path, but you've strayed away, why? Why would you want to stray into this dark world of sin? Into a place that is leading not to heaven, but one that's leading to a dark, painful place called hell. We'd encourage you to get back on the right path. And what's amazing, what's awesome about our God, it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how far you've strayed, if you're willing in your heart to make the changes necessary, He'll accept you back. Just ask the prodigal son. Just ask David, who our Bible says was a man after God's own heart, who had a man killed and then had an affair, had a child out of that, on and on the sin. But David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented. He had a penitent spirit and he accepted his sin, recognized it was his fault, and was so thankful for a loving, merciful God that would accept him back. Whatever the case might be for you this morning, please be on that path so we can all see one another one day in heaven. Come as we stand and as we sing, if you have any need.